Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the upcoming Outlander series or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 19 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. So announcements this week. This was actually a pretty good week for announcements. I thought we got some beefy stuff coming.
A pretty heavy week, in a good way.
Sometimes we have weeks with a lot of announcements where some of the announcements aren't a big deal. But I think this week we had a good amount of announcements, and every last one of them was pretty good.
A lot of really, yeah, a really, whether it was a picture or a video or just some interesting stuff, it was all nice. It's a pretty full week for being on break.
Being it on was a holiday week. Like, yeah. I mean, I think that the last 2 weeks we've gotten as much, if not more. Stuff from Stars than we did not in the holiday season.
Yeah, so if they can, I mean, I think this is the last, except for like, what, Easter week, which is still not as long, or maybe, I don't know. I can't think of another break that's going to happen like this before the end of filming. Mm-hmm. So just because of the way the filming fell, the timing fell, if they can handle a 2 or 3, however long it was, week break, and still give us this amount of goodies... We already know they gave us plenty of goodies during filming.
Correct.
But if they handle a break like that, bring on the breaks, because except that we don't want filming to be stopped anymore. No. So no more breaks, but if we have more breaks, we know that.
Well, they may have more breaks, because they filmed, it started what, in October? Uh-huh. And they went through basically December. And that was only 4 episodes. So there's still 12 more episodes left. Mm-hmm. So if they film 2 episodes in 2 months, that's like an episode every month.
Yeah, I think I read it was like 10 to 12 days for an episode, something like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there could potentially be more breaks, but...
There may be.
I'm just so excited for the show to start. Let's just get to it. This week, the first thing we got, and they always do this, they like to tease us and then we sit. And around our computers for hours waiting. But it was so worth it. We got a new picture. The first picture of Sam and Kate together in character as Jamie and Claire. And it was posted by TV Guide, I believe, had an exclusive on that. Mm-hmm. And I remember it first came out and it was like this little tiny picture. And then I was like, oh, yay! And then I found a bigger one and I was like, oh, this one's bigger. I spent a lot of time staring at that picture.
That picture was very... I hate to say I cry... I had tears in my eyes. That's what I'll say. Because to me, crying is maybe not bawling, but crying is when you have like more of the heaves, like or something like that. I didn't have any diaphragmatic action going on. It was just tears in my eyes. So I don't know if that's quite crying. It was nowhere near notebook crying.
No,
it wasn't like that.
She wasn't
that's
scream
bawling.
Crying.
Oh no. Yeah. Okay. So maybe I wasn't crying. Maybe
projectile
cry.
Crying.
Oh gosh.
Where the tears come flying out of your face.
But that picture was. It just yeah. So much. There's so much to say, but there's nothing to say. Everything I've had to say, and I think Summer too, although probably I was the most verbose, was on Twitter, or I think. It was, yeah, just so much. There's so many. The background, the wall, their cost. Oh my gosh, Terry.
You know, and somebody pointed out that they had posted a picture a while ago of... with that wall in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people on the wall. And they were like, oh, look, I wonder who's on that wall.
Uh-huh.
And now we know who was on that wall.
So, yeah, and they reposted I don't think they reposted it. I think a fan reposted it. But, yeah, you can look at the two and see that it's definitely the same. It's the same.
Pairing.
The same location.
Right.
Different vantage points.
Correct.
But I gotta say, when it came out on Monday, I was like, man, one day! And we missed it by our episode 18, by one day. But episode 18 was plenty full. It was more than full. But, yeah.
So the second thing we got was a video, another video on New Year's. And what was funny is they kind of accidentally posted it.
I think it was,
like the day before. And then all of a sudden the link didn't work. Or maybe the link never worked, but it did start working.
It worked at first.
On New Year's.
Oh, well, the link worked at first. I think what happened was maybe Stars just doesn't realize either that people are watching these sites with hawk eyes, or certain people may have, or not, certain alerts set up anytime something happens or changes or is uploaded. And if an alert is read, or if someone is monitoring a site and they see that something is uploaded or changed or added, then they'll go see it, and they may or may not announce it to the world. Like, I may or may not have. And then within minutes, it didn't work anymore. So,
well, and then,
but it wasn't supposed to be for that day, right, admittedly.
No, agreed. But then what was funny is the next day, when Stars posted about the video, and here's a link, that link didn't work. But when I went back to the link that you had posted the day before, that link all of a sudden magically worked.
The link, if I'm not... Oh, was the link on Tuesday or the link on Wednesday? Because I know the video was officially released Wednesday.
Correct.
On New Year's Eve.
Yes.
But did the hiccup or did the oopsie come on Tuesday or Monday? Was it Tuesday?
I thought it was Monday. I think it was the day before.
Okay. So it made it Tuesday. So not that... Definitely not too far before it.
But yeah, it was a good video. I liked it. I liked it because they're informative. And it's not just, hey, look at us. We're the cast members. They dropped some knowledge on us, if you will.
Yeah, it was fun.
And we also got a new picture from Outlander Stars, their Instagram account. And it is from the courtyard of Castle Leoc.
It's a view on a staircase looking down into the courtyard. Beautiful.
Love it.
Just... Again, so many things to say and nothing to say. I could never say enough. So I guess I won't try.
Keep them coming, Stars. We like the pictures. And next weekend, January 11th, is the Outlander Stars event in Los Angeles. We are hoping to get in. We do have confirmed tickets, as we've said before, but...
Tickets. Reservation. No, ours, I don't know.
We're confirmed.
We got the confirmation email. Yeah.
So hopefully... We do everything right and get in and get to kind of just hang out with the fans and be fans and enjoy whatever information Stars wishes to impart upon us.
Yes, as fans, we're very excited to attend, for the opportunity to attend
Correct.
Such an event, and look forward to meeting other fans.
And we also had a Q&A happen today, the first Q&A of 2014.
And it lasted... quite a while, and when we looked at the questions afterwards, oh my goodness.
So many. And she answered so many. I mean,
I know.
There were so many questions asked, and she actually took the time to answer a good portion of them, I would say. And Erin Conrad was so lovely and typed them all up and posted them on her blog.
I don't know if it's... She contributes to a site called 3ifbyspace. And I did communicate with Erin, and she did say that she's done this for the other Q&As. So, Erin, this is awesome. Thank you so much. And we will definitely just use you as the fallback for the future.
We did link to her site from our page on Facebook, so you can find it there if you want to see it in all its glory. But we did write down some of the highlights that we'll share now.
Some of the stuff had been maybe, I guess you could say, repeated or information that we already knew, which is fine. You know, she answered things again.
Not everybody else might have seen it. And
that's
if they
true.
Asked it, they obviously didn't know the answer.
That's true. But a lot of people may have. So what I'm saying is I'm not going to highlight any of those. So these are in no particular order. Well, they're following along with the order of Erin's beautiful, lovely write-up. And so if she went in order of the questions asked, then that's the order we have them in. We learned that, at the minimum, drafts of scripts through episode 11 have been completed. That doesn't mean finalized, but completed. An episode can take about 2 months from draft to final version. Also, we learned that the music will likely not be original, which I kind of found interesting.
She said all. It would not all be original.
That's true.
Which...
But we don't know how much of what.
Well, it indicated to me that there would be some original music, but that they would be using some, maybe, you know, older music as well. Because she said that they hadn't finalized composers yet.
Yes, but I will just say what she said, and the music will likely not be original. That could be a portion. That could be a great amount. We don't know. We're also close to getting our Ned Gowan. And what someone
Which
I talked about...
Which I found confusing because I thought that somebody had already... I thought that somebody else had already... Was it Ron Moore in his Q&A that had said that there was a Ned Gowan cast?
I don't know. So what we don't know is maybe that it's he's cast and we're very close to having him be announced. Or potentially he's not cast. I don't know. So that's not 100% clear. We also learned that each episode will be slightly less than 1 hour.
It's pretty standard, though.
Yeah.
Pretty standard for cable.
And we also learned that the Scottish accents, or in Meryl's words, they are striving to be as authentic as possible in every area. And that includes speech or accents. And that was in response to someone asking if would they mellow out some of the Scots accents. So it would be a little bit easier for Americans or, you know, anyone, basically, who's not Scottish or who doesn't have experience understanding that so that they could have an easier time understanding. And I did do a little screenshot of the tweet and her answer to that specific question and also on our Facebook page. And I have to say, as much as I understand how difficult it can be for many people, native English speakers and non, to comprehend a Scots accent, not just the accent, heck, the dialect, right? Because there are words in there, slang. I still don't know most of what is said. But it really made me very happy to know that they are not going in the direction of not dumbing it down, but mellowing it out, if you will. I hope they keep it as hard to understand as needed as it truly is, whatever that means.
I wonder if turning on the subtitles would help, or if it would be phonetic subtitles to the point that it also made no sense.
That's really funny. Someone actually said that. Actually, I posted 3 or 4 screen captures of various tweet Q&As as it was going, and I think that one didn't get the most likes, but it got the most comments. That I was really surprised. So there's a lot of people agree just from the small smatterings of answers or comments that we got on that one. But someone also made a very good point, and this is what addresses what you were saying. If your television set has capability, and I think most do these days, to use closed captions. That's true. It has to be, because what about the deaf community?
Right.
I mean, any language aside, there has to be closed captioning in English for them to watch anything, if they're English speakers. So
right, but I pity the closed captioning company that has to sit at their computer and be like,
well,
what?
That's another question. If anyone knows the answer to that, please let us know. Is there, when closed captioning is done of, say, an accent such as, or a dialect such as Scots, or even English, it doesn't, or another English dialect other than Scots, how do they do it? As Summer said, is it phonetic? Or do they put it into quote-unquote standard English? So that was, I was happy to hear that or to read that. And linguist that I am, that I'm very interested in that. And I'm very happy that they're not going to quote-unquote dumb it down. I'm very happy about that. It's close to my heart. We also learned that, although it's kind of, it might seem quite obvious, Meryl confirmed that one of the scenes that she said one of the scenes that she could confirm that they had filmed was Claire at the Stones. So if they finished episode 4 and we see a picture of Claire with Jamie, she's in 1743. So that means she had to go through the Stones. So it's kind of a no-brainer. But again, nice to know that it's been filmed.
I feel like she was trying to give a bone.
Exactly.
Any kind of, it's like, well,
absolutely.
I can tell you this.
That's
like her saying, well, I can tell you we're filming in Scotland.
Well, that's just silly.
Well, I can tell you there's tartans involved.
Another one that was, actually, this was interesting. Since they had that one picture a few months ago, that it was like, it looked to me like stacks of equipment. And
with
you
could
see peaks of a green screen behind it. And they put the caption was, what do you think this is? Or something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
And I think pretty much everyone said green screen with lots of stuff in front of it. Well, we still don't know what the green screen was used for. I mean, we could guess.
But that must be the scene she was referring to as being the scene with green screen.
What, the Stones?
No. She said at least one.
Because someone asked her. With green screen. That's what I'm saying. I didn't write down Q&A. I just wrote down a few of the highlights. And the question was, I don't know if it was for how many scenes or... I think it was for how many scenes the green screen had been used for. And Meryl replied that she believes it was for... She believes it's only been used once so far for one scene. And obviously she's not going to tell us which one. But a lot of people speculated, and I would probably agree that it may have been for Jamie's ghost. You know, if he's in the rain and the wind, but his clothing is not getting wet or moving in the wind, who knows? But that was the first thing that kind of came to a lot of people's minds. And finally, while we may have guessed this, especially if they have, well, they have a draft for scripts up through episode 11. But she did confirm that the wedding episode has been written. And she wrote, squee! And we squeed right along. So that was with her and with everybody else. So, yay! And those are our highlights.
I guess that about wraps up announcements for the week. On to the read-along. This week we have chapter 16, entitled One Fine Day.
And this chapter was pretty... Maybe not as information rich as last chapter, but it was pretty, and it was a lot of information as far as the...
Well, the last chapter was a lot of familial information.
Yeah. So it reminded me of, if you've ever read part of the Bible where they say,
and Joseph begat.
Enoch begat, who begat this, who begat that, who begat that, and I'm making up words, but yeah, it wasn't quite like that, Diana, I understand that, but it was a good amount of family...
It was an
information.
Lots of exposition.
So, this is the day after. It's called One Fine Day, and this is the day after their wedding night.
Correct.
The first full day of being married.
Yes.
And they're very awkward around each other. It's like after they've been as intimate as two people can be, and it's like, you want to put that hashtag awkward in there.
It's like the mutual walk of shame.
And each of them, they each say it at different times, but each of them reminds the other of their honesty pledge. You don't have to speak, you don't have to say a lot, but remember, if I'm asking you what's going on or what's bothering you or whatever, we promise each other to be honest. So they go out for a walk. Jamie takes them out to an area up behind the inn, but quite a good walk away. And Jamie sits against a pine tree, and Claire is... not sitting against the tree. She's kind of sitting on the ground, but away from him. And again, because I think it was two episodes ago or so, I just happened to look up information about the aspen tree, because that was in that chapter. So for this one, I thought, okay, well, let's see. Maybe it means nothing, but let me look up information on a pine tree. So there was a Celtic tree sign site, or a site that gave information about, you know, Celtic symbology, and I'm not sure how legitimate it is, but it mentioned that for pine trees, they symbolize creativity, life, longevity, and immortality. They are evergreen, so I guess that makes sense. And from a San Francisco Gate Chronicle article on trees, or on pines specifically, they mentioned that pines are sun-loving trees that do not grow well under shady conditions. As a group, pine trees are long-lived conifers. So looking at those two together, definitely long-lived and sun-loving. I thought that was... Although Jamie... Oh, we haven't gotten there yet. I can't mention the cave. But it made me think of Jamie, and not necessarily representing the sun. But remember before they got married, when they were all dressed and she was wondering where Jamie was? And Jamie comes into the... It was kind of a misty day. Mm-hmm. And Jamie comes into the inn and she says...
He was the sun.
And the sun came out in the person of Jamie. And I thought, you know, that's a little bit of symbolism there. That's definitely... He's the very, very male warrior, prince-like, if you will. But very much, I guess you could say, sun-like. So...
I have a feeling this tree is not nearly as applicable as the aspen.
No, probably not. And so Jamie sits Claire on his lap. And he says that if they need to touch each other to feel comfortable, then they'll touch. And when they were together, they were in the shade of an oak. So I'm not sure if it's against a different tree, but they were sitting in the shade of an oak. Now, about oak trees, Of course, we all can probably guess the strength, stability, durability. And I also read about purity and constancy. So that, I thought, was that made sense. So I think in the shade of an oak. I'm not sure about the pine, but I don't think Diana Gabaldon's choice of oak was random. So we find out that Dougal told Jamie his sister was pregnant by Randall and that he couldn't bring himself to contact her. He's talking about more about his past. And he felt bad for her, felt bad about the situation, but he couldn't find it within himself to contact her. And while he was soldiering in France, he learned from his uncle that an English deserter named Horrocks had seen a man who had shot the sergeant major, whom Jamie was accused of shooting. And this, if they could find this and have this timeline match up, this would prove that it wasn't Jamie. And so Horrocks had joined up with Francis McLean O'Dunwary, and Francis had a connection to the Mackenzies. He had sent word to Colum, who had sent Dougal to contact Jamie. So this is not huge bits of information, but you still have to follow. I had to write it down in order to follow it. So Colum sent Dougal to contact Jamie, and that's how Dougal was near Jamie when he was wounded. Towards the end of the previous chapter, hadn't Claire asked him, how did Dougal end up?
Well, Jamie himself had alluded to the fact that he thought there was a time when he himself was unsure whether or not mm-hmm. the person who had hit him over the head was Dougal.
Mm-hmm. But didn't she wonder why they were all there, and what brought Dougal to that place at that time is what Jamie was trying to describe. No? Okay, try this again. And that's how Dougal was near Jamie when he was wounded. But Jamie did wonder if Dougal had attempted to kill him.
Correct.
So the whole Colum, Dougal, Hamish thing about there only being... Okay, Colum being Laird while he was alive, but then once he was gone, Dougal technically could have fulfilled that role, but he wouldn't have been...
Colum's followers would not have accepted him.
Would not have wanted him, but then Colum had a son. But...
He is too young.
He would have been too young, so then Dougal would have had to probably step in to be Laird while Hamish was underage. But then there is this whole thing, and this Jamie is explaining this, not only his background, this is all to help explain the danger he was in and hence the marriage, another reason for the marriage.
And the danger that Claire is now in.
Well, the danger that Claire is now in, but actually the purpose of this was to explain another reason for the marriage and also how it saved Jamie in a bit. So, because Dougal would not necessarily become Laird automatically once Colum passes, if something happened to Colum and Hamish was still young, Dougal could still be the Laird while Hamish was young. However, because, as you said, Colum's followers would not want Dougal there, even probably as a short-term or temporary thing, they did see the potential for Jamie, who was a Mackenzie by birth. Well... half Mackenzie. His mom was a Mackenzie. And was looked up to, was found, was a warrior, was intelligent, etc. Would have made a good Laird. People recognize that. But...
Well, he is a Laird in his own right.
He's a Laird in his own right, but he's not a Mackenzie.
No, he's not Mackenzie. No.
So basically, if Jamie married... Well, not just married. Marriage wouldn't necessarily do it. But marrying Jamie to an English person... would pretty much bet that
no one he would want him in
never, ever. Even those who would have supported the cause, there's not a chance they would with an English wife
correct.
Wouldn't happen. So that was another reason for to have him married to Sassenach. And Jamie does not feel entitled, nor does he want to be Laird. He says it would split the clan. And Claire understood that at the oath-taking, he had told them his intention not to be Laird. We learn that Jamie always sleeps armed, and he mentions that their wedding night was the first time he did not sleep with a dirk in his fist. And this is, I think, although it may have been hinted at, I think this is also the first time we hear from Jamie's lips specifically about Claire's glass face. He says, "You would make a terrible spy." He can read, almost anyone can read, but Jamie says he can read her face, and we learn about one of her most important, or the character's most, maybe not important, but one of the biggest attributes, one of the things that makes Claire Claire, and that is she's not a good liar. He says she would make a terrible spy, and then everything shows in her face. So they basically hear some people coming, and they hide while they pass. And Jamie tells Claire it's the Black Watch, which is an informal police order, yeah, to keep order in the Highlands. Claire expresses fear for Jamie. He says that he's not worth very much. You know, he's...
The price on his head isn't price enough on his, to make it worth them.
Exactly. And then Claire says, I'm awfully glad you're not worth very much. So that made me laugh. While we had guessed as much, it is now freely admitted, Dougal had picked Jamie to marry Claire to totally remove him from the possibility of ever being Laird. In addition to 500 other things, but that was probably the biggest benefit for him and the clan. So Jamie teaches Claire how to tickle trout, and then he declaims poetry to her. As she's listening to him, she compares Jamie to Frank and describes the two of them to the reader in great contrast. Their physicality, their age, their character as reserved, as opposed to how open Jamie is, Frank's reserve and Jamie's openness, and as lovers. She says Frank is polished, whereas Jamie gave her all of himself. And she says that her response to him was unsettling to her. He kisses her to distract her from her thoughts and then tells her he thinks it's a gift that he can please her. And then they get busy. And the tally continues. That is number 4, the oomph tally. So then there's a little break in the chapter. And didn't someone call that a whale penis?
What?
There's that little thing, like it's like a big tilde with a hash mark through it. I don't know if it's in the E-version.
I don't have one of those. I just have a line
across. I thought I heard someone, or heard. I thought I read somewhere that someone called it a whale penis. Anyway, it's like a little...
Now you have the title for this episode.
No. No, I've already chosen the title.
If it doesn't have whale penis in it, it's because I lost.
So after they... Basically, someone said that that symbol appears right as they're starting to get it on. I don't know where the whale penis came from, but... That mark almost always appears as a can appear as a
well,
way to get on.
In the Kindle version, it's more of a page break where it is just a line.
Yeah, okay.
Just a flat line across the middle.
So as the scene focuses back on the couple, Claire says to Jamie, if you say thank you once more, I'll slap you. So apparently Jamie's still really, really, really,
appreciative.
And then he falls asleep. She recounts her experience of and knowledge of infatuation to herself and how she'd never acted upon it before. She talks about all the different times she had been infatuated with people. Well, and also during war.
True, but
it was a very safe thing.
I like how she's admitting to herself that, as far as Jamie's concerned, that she's been fighting it for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's admitting all the things that we were noticing as readers, and everyone around her was noticing that she was, you know, making up excuses to go down and see him, you know, mm-hmm. and just all the things that we would have pointed out as big clues that there was more between them than on her side,
yeah.
than was apparent.
So she says how she had been infatuated before, but it never went that far. It always ended safely with no harm done to herself or Frank. And this is the first time she'd acted or gone this far with an infatuation. Then by this time, Jamie, I guess, I'm hoping is awake. Because I wrote, they kind of get down to business, but we don't know if it's complete, so I'm going to call this a half. We don't know if there's full on. So once they're done and they've had their day, they're hungry again, and they return to the inn. And Claire finds out that one of the conditions that Jamie had for marrying her was that they have this time together so that he wouldn't consummate their marriage under a bush with men looking on. And the other conditions were that they must get married by a priest.
I don't think it was a half. I'm going to go with a full. And the reason I'm going to go with a full is
because... Okay, I am very happy to up the tally.
Because he says... Because she was doing whatever to him... And then she says, I uttered a small shriek as he rolled onto me, pinning me against the ferns. Your turn, he said, with considerable satisfaction.
Wait, he rolls onto her and then says, your turn?
Yeah.
So what was happening before?
She was
downtown?
Yeah, she was downtown.
But if he said, So your turn means he's going downtown.
No, because he does that for the first time later.
Oh, okay. See? Readers? I mean, listeners. Well, readers too. Listeners, you learn. We've never broken this down like this before. So, okay. So that is, we can say a number one or a full one. So that's number five. Okay. There was one before.
Sorry.
Before the whale penis.
As you were.
Okay. So some of the conditions that Jamie had were that they must have this time together, have a room, and be married by a priest, and that she must have a suitable gown. He says that he knew she did not want to wed him, and he wanted to make it as pleasant as possible. And my heart kind of breaks right there, because, yeah, he probably definitely wanted to lie with her. He admits that. But other than that, he knew that her heart was not in it. And so I can see how he wanted to do as much as he could to make it as, I guess you could say, as pleasant as possible, or as the least amount of unpleasant, if that makes sense.
As painless, as easily to yeah, adjust to. I mean,
maybe. There's not a really good way to put it, but yeah, some mix of those. So they have supper, or as they have supper, they're teased, and Jamie announces to the world that Claire snores. I probably would have, in jest or no, one day married or no, I may have backhanded my new husband. So they dance, and Claire and the innkeeper's wife, I think they're the only females there, and they dance for a long time. Those men can go and go and go, and
well,
these ladies
all want
are
to
like,
turn. It was mostly men. If there's only
it
two ladies,
almost all men. Yeah. As they're going up to their room for the night, Rupert throws up a coin purse at them, and he says it's a wedding present earned through playing dice or cards, and won from the men of the Shimi Bogle Watch. Now, my pronunciation of that is probably butchery. But it's, if you've read it, you'll know what I'm talking about. So they get back to the room, and Jamie compliments Claire's hair, and he's running his fingers through her hair, and or plays with her hair, and says, and she says, "What, this?" And he says, "Well, I like the other too." Claire, girlfriend. Oh gosh. Okay. So Jamie tells us his father's name. He was Brian Dew, or Black Brian, for his hair and his beard. Whereas Black Jack Randall is black for the color of his soul, which we knew, but, or which we know, but in case there was any doubt. Now we know that the Gaelic was not right at the time in the first book. Jamie, this is the time when he first calls her by a Gaelic name, and that would be Modunia, which is my brown one, and that, or at least that was the intent. And he said that he had been longing to call her that for a while. We don't know how long, but he comments on what Dougal and Colum think she is, English spy or French spy. And Jamie says he doesn't think she's French because she doesn't speak it as well as he does. And he spent plenty of time among native French speakers to know what native, not just to know what native French sounds like, but to know what, probably, I'm thinking like idioms and speech patterns and that kind of thing. If you've been around native speakers for a long time and then you're around someone who speaks very well, even is fluent, you can tell the difference. You really can. So that was interesting to hear that. I didn't pay much attention to this or attend to this that much before. So he basically says that her French is not that of a native speaker. Her English is a bit odd too, he says. So he's like, in the end, I have no idea who or what you are. But she asks him if he's afraid. If he's not afraid, she might kill him. And he opens his shirt and throws his dirk at her. Not at her, excuse me. Toward her on the floor. And she picks it up and calls him a cocky bastard. That's basically how it is. Of course, she doesn't kill him. We have eight more books, or seven more
no,
books.
No, she says, serve you right if I did.
Yeah.
And then he calls him a cocky bastard. And then he says, Sassenach. And she stopped, the dirk still in her hand, and said, what? And he said, I'll die a happy man. Mm-hmm. So even if you kill me now, we're good. He's like, I'll thank you again for everything we've done today.
Number five.
That's chapter 16. Next week, join us. We'll be reading chapter 7.
Oh, no. I don't know what we can do next week.
Oh, what's next week? Oh, next week.
I don't know.
How quickly I forget.
Here's the thing. We honestly don't know what we're going to be doing next week.
Okay.
We can have the reading done, and I can have some notes done. And
well, next week, here's the thing. Next week, we intend to work on chapter 17, We Meet a Beggar. However, it depends on how much new information we have from the Stars Outlander That's event.
True. That's true, because we're not going to spend an hour talking about the event.
I mean, we may if there's a lot of information. But if there's not, like, if there's not a lot of new stuff that we can really share, then we might. And plus, it's going to be live cast, so most of you will have already heard everything.
That's the thing.
So all that we can bring you that would be new is our reactions and how we kind of felt about everything that we saw. And then if we had any personal experiences with cast members or Ms. Gabaldon or anything. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm kind of excited about the whole thing.
Well, very excited. So, yeah. So I think we can safely say our plan is to then continue the read-along.
With Chapter 17, We Meet a Beggar. But with the caveat that if we run long talking about the Stars event,
we may push it back a week. But it's all good. However this comes out, it's all good. So we wish you a wonderful week. Thank you again, as always, so much for listening. And we will try and say hello from LA.
Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at @OutlanderPod. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/OutlanderPod. Or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com. Last night, that my young